Welcome to today's Perry Fairway Let's Talk Dallas County program. My name is Joe Sorwinski. On today's program, I'm joined for the weekly legislative update by Chris Hagano, the representative from District 19. Chris, thank you as always for joining me.
Well, thanks, Joe. It's great to be here again.
So the first thing that I wanted to talk about today is the funnel, which was actually Friday. That was the second funnel of the session. Well, can you tell me about some bills that did and didn't make it through this second deadline?
Actually, I'm pleased to report that all of the pieces of legislation that House Republicans set forth as priorities either have already passed or are still eligible going forward. So, you know, we talked before about the first funnel where something has to be out of committee. The second funnel is different and narrows the list a little further. It has to be out of committee in both chambers and off the floor, you know, the full House or the full Senate in the other, although there is an exception to that. If they're linked, you know, they're identical bills, very similar, then if they're both out of committee, then we can keep moving. So we've taken the action we need to take to keep things eligible for the rest of the year. As we've talked about before, we did things like the Children's Mental Health Bill. We did school infrastructure money earlier this year. We did a constitutional amendment on Second Amendment rights. There have been a number of bills that we've already done, and I think that speaks well of us as well, that we got some of that work done earlier. So there have been some other issues that maybe have gotten some attention that didn't make it through, but the things that were priorities for House Republicans remain alive.
All right. Now, one priority that I know was one of the governor's was the felon voting rights bill, and unfortunately, that didn't make it through the funnel, correct?
Well, we passed that, I think, about 2 weeks ago on nearly unanimous vote. I want to say there were only two or maybe three no votes in the entire House for that. And so we sent that over to the Senate, and it did not survive the legislative funnel, which was disappointing. One of the concerns, and we actually mentioned this when we ran the bill in the House, is that we would want to take a look at some of the parameters for how that new constitutional amendment would work, but that would take place in a regular bill. We'd write the law around that. And so, you know, does this restoration of rights extend to murderers or rapists, for example? And we wanted to make sure that it didn't. And I know that was important to the Senate as well. And restitution for victims and some of those things. So they had additional concerns about what that policy might look like, is my understanding of why it didn't move forward, but it is still disappointing. But with a constitutional amendment that has to pass two consecutive general assemblies, which are defined as two-year terms. So the earliest this would be on the ballot either way is 2022. So there is still next year to come back and actually for the Senate to pass this particular resolution and stay on that timeline.
All right. Now, you mentioned that this would be a constitutional amendment. There were several constitutional amendments that were discussed. Did any of the other ones make it through the second funnel?
Yes, there's still, well, like I said earlier, the constitutional amendment on Second Amendment rights, we did that earlier. There is one other one on the gubernatorial line of succession. So there was some interest in that because of the way things played out when Governor Branstad went to be ambassador to China, of how people move up on that hierarchy. And it was vague how that played out, so we're still looking at that language as well.
All right. Well, now moving right along here, some things that we also want to discuss. The House actually passed an education budget recently. So what can you tell me about this piece of legislation?
Yeah, well, one, it provides a lot of money for education, but it's also the first of, you know, our budget bills that we've moved forward, the different subject pieces. And so it's really taken significant steps towards putting the whole thing together and hopefully wrapping up the overall session. But inside of the education budget is not necessarily the K-12 education piece, but a lot of higher education funding, AEA funding, and then the Future Ready Iowa plan for workforce training. So there was another almost $15 million that went towards the Future Ready Iowa and some scholarship money inside of that. For the regents, for Iowa, Iowa State, UNI had $16 million increase on that. There was some mental health funding to happen inside K-12 education that we think is good, and it fits in with the Children's Mental Health Bill from earlier this year. And one thing that I think is a new initiative is for scholarship money for doctors to locate into rural Iowa, because we do have a shortage of medical providers in many areas of the state. So that's a good initiative as well. So I think a lot of good new initiatives inside of that budget that I'm excited to move forward.
Absolutely. Now, looking at the budget on the whole, I imagine at this point in the session, it's probably beginning to look a little more clear.
It is. There's still some differences. The governor sets forth her budget, and then the House and the Senate, you know, start their own proposals. And we're at roughly the governor's level of spending, which we think is appropriate, and is still less than 98% of ongoing revenue. So it doesn't even spend everything, and is a modest growth of less than 1%. The Senate is a little lower than us. They want to be a little lower, I guess, on that number than we are. And we'll figure some of those things out. But by and large, we agree on most of the line items in the budget. And as we go through these next 3 weeks, 4 weeks maybe, we'll iron those differences out and move forward. But I'm confident at the end of the day, it's going to meet the priority needs of Iowans and is still fiscally responsible. So I feel really good about the direction we're going.
All right. Now, one specific bill that I want to ask you about today is the property tax bill that is going through the House Ways and Means Committee. What can you tell me about this one?
Yeah, this is in response, and I think it's timely right now as people get their new property tax assessments, as folks' property tax assessed values are going way up, which means we're paying a lot more in property taxes, and yet we're not seeing a decrease in that at the city and county level. They spend more of those dollars, hearing that across the state. So this is an effort to try and equalize that cities and counties don't necessarily get to spend that windfall that comes from an increased property valuation. So the bill will, like I said, try and equalize what your actual levy rate is so that it's more transparent for the individual property taxpayer, and then try and get control on the growth of overall city and county spending as well. You know, we operate the state budget with some pretty fine margins and pretty limited growth rates, and think that cities and counties can operate inside of a similar structure. So, you know, it still hasn't quite come out yet. Any property tax bill is very complicated because of all the different pieces that go into that. But we're really close to moving that forward, and I'm excited to see what they come up with.
All right, we will definitely keep track of that bill as it moves forward. Now, one last thing I wanted to ask you about is a special visitor that you had recently to the legislature. What can you tell me about this?
Yeah, this week we had the Israeli ambassador to the United States, Ambassador Dermer, came, and it was the first time that an Israeli ambassador had ever visited the state of Iowa. And we've got a great relationship with Israel here. Many Iowans that have been over there, the governor has been on trade missions over there, and so there's a good partnership there. But we had him here, and I had a chance to actually spend some time with the ambassador when he was here. And really, there's a lot of exciting things that are happening, both in technology, research, and trade with Israel. But to hear some of the frontline stories of the threats that they face is sort of the bastion of democracy in that part of the world. Was just fascinating to hear from him. So he also then spoke on the floor of the Iowa House. But people were really excited to hear from him. It was really a fascinating visit.
All right. Well, Representative Chris Hagenow, anything else that you would like to mention to our listeners today?
As we continue to put the budget together, please reach out to me if you have any thoughts or comments. I'm happy to hear from folks. Otherwise, we're going to keep pressing forward.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me this week, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
That's been today's Perry Fairway Let's Talk Dallas County program with Chris Hagenow. You can find this program at RaccoonValleyRadio.com. My name is Joe Sirwinski with Raccoon Valley Radio News. Perry Fairway, always fresh, always affordable.